Stop the music. Stop the music. You know who this is. This is JT, a.k.a. The Master. And this is what I want you to do today. Come on. Come on. Don't do this to me now. Anyway, this is JT, a.k.a. The Master. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the West East Coast. And you know what time it is. It's the it's time for the master plan. Okay? So without further ado, let's get into this show. You know the number to call? Once again, like I said, this is the master plan. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and that's Curtis Blow way back in the day, one of the old school type of hip-hop rappers. And this is what this day is about. I'm going to give you some players today that may give you some breaks to win some games. Hopefully you're at least winning one. You won one game in the last 2 weeks. Or you're not 0-2 and looking for a win, hopefully I can take and put one of these players in your lineup that no one else may have thought about, or maybe in the coming immediate future that these players are going to rise up and do some special things for you. The number to call is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is a place to be if you want to talk to me. I also have the chat room open if you'd like to ask a question, make a comment or a statement in that. We can also do it that way if you're shy and don't want to talk on the phone. This is fine. But without further ado, let's get into week three of the NFL and fantasy football season. And before I do that, let me bring in a caller I have, and I'm pretty sure I know who this is. I see the number, and I think it's Slick Rick. What's up, my man?
What's going on, Jerry?
How you doing? Are you get in, or because I know you?
No, I was off yesterday, so
okay.
That's why. As soon as we were done with that, I hit the hay. I didn't wake up until 9 in the evening. Stayed up
okay.
For 30 minutes. And hit the hay again.
Okay, well, okay.
So I am nice and rested.
Okay, my next question was to make sure that you're not going to fall asleep on me. So, which is cool, but it's all right.
I'm feeling good.
That's good to hear. Well, as you know, we're in week three of the NFL season, and crazy things have happened already. One big, huge trade that took place between the Colts and the Cleveland Browns. In essence, the Cleveland Browns have packed it in for the season with only 2 games into the season. So, before I go any further, okay, I'm going to give people 3 defenses to play this week. Before anything else, I'm going to give you three defenses and get that out of the way. And this is probably going to be for the rest of the season. So listen to what I'm saying here. Whatever teams play the Jets, whatever team play the Jacksonville Jaguars, and whatever defensive team plays the Cleveland Browns, and that's been added onto the list since Trent Richardson, and that's just, and they're going to do a run back, running back by committee, and their quarterback position is in turmoil. I added the Cleveland Browns to the list of the Jets and the Jags as the team that any team you any defense that plays against those three teams, you go out and get. So if you don't have an elite team, a defensive team, and you're looking for a defense, whatever week it is, New York Jets, Geno Smith, he's coming along. He's a rookie, but he's very turnover prone. They don't have a lot of weapons, really good weapons on that team, and they're very turnover prone. Cleveland Browns, same thing. Quarterback's very turnover prone, and they don't have a lot of weapons on that team. They're very turnover prone, and their offense is very anemic. Same thing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You recognize the theme here, people. Very turnover prone as a quarterback. The quarterback play, I don't care if it's Chad Henne or Blaine Gabbert. Very inconsistent and horrible quarterback play leads to a lot of turnovers. Same with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there's three defenses. And for the most part, any of those defenses that are going against those three teams are usually sitting on the waiver wire, unless it's a strong team like today, which is Seattle's going against Jacksonville. Quite naturally, that team is not on the waiver wire. But I played the Oakland Raiders last week, and they were playing the Oakland Raiders were playing. What were they playing? Oh, I forgot who they're playing now. Oakland Raiders were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's exactly the reason. Oakland's a very bad defense, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are even worse on offense, and they got me double-digit points in Oakland playing against the Jaguars. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And you'll find those type of defenses sitting on the waiver wire because nobody wants them.
Yeah, just you got to play them.
See, and that's one of my philosophies that I'm doing this year. I'm streaming defenses. Any fantasy team I have, if I don't have an elite defense, and most of the time I don't because I take a defense very late in my draft, I'm streaming defenses. I'm looking for matchups, the most best matchups. And these three teams, I'm talking about the Jets, the Cleveland Browns, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are very good matchups for defense. And let me tell you, it doesn't make a difference whether it's home or away because all three of these teams are very turnover prone. What do you think about my philosophy there, Rick?
Hey, it's definitely one that I figured out a couple years back, but you know, I tend to play every year different, and this year I really feel like that is the main formula for fantasy. Mm-hmm. You know, just because of how the league is going, you don't have those players like we had in the past. Like, you still have a couple of reliable players that you know week in and week out. You're going to get this amount of points or that amount of points. But
right.
The way that the league is shaped up this year, the majority of the play that you need to use as a philosophy for fantasy has to be matchup-based. It has to be. I mean, you could do that for any position. That's great for defenses. But you truthfully can do that almost any position on here, especially in your bye week. It's definitely going to help you once those bye weeks start kicking in next week.
Right. Yeah, and remember, people, this is week three. Week four, the first set of bye weeks drop in. Okay?
Right.
Week four, the first set of bye weeks drop in, and I guarantee you people are going to be hung out to dry because they forget about the bye weeks. And don't plan at least a week ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, if you don't prepare early, I started preparing for that last week, week two, for those bye weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prepare for it.
And the thing about it, just think about this. Some of the most prolific, some of the most stronger fantasy plays are in week four. Granted,
yeah.
It's only two teams, but those two teams are the Green Bay Packers and the Carolina
mm-hmm.
Panthers. So
right.
remember that. You got Aaron Rodgers and company and all those wide receivers that you won't have in week four. Trust me. You won't have Cam Newton, Steve Smith in week four. Even though maybe their numbers haven't been what you want them to be, you won't have them in week four. So remember that. Anyway, let's get to it. And speaking of the Packers, that's the first game up on the docket. The Green Bay Packers going up against the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. Now,
yeah.
Cincinnati's coming off a win. Green Bay Packers are coming off a win. Everybody's feeling good about themselves. You saw a little rising star coming out. They threw a couple touchdowns, one on the ground, one on the through the air, catching a pass and just prancing into the end zone. People, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, I think Ricky knows what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Giovanni Bernard. Now, he's obviously the better of the running backs in Cincinnati. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, a.k.a. the law firm, is usually the thumper, but he's a plotter. He's not a very good running back. He's not a very good dynamic running back. They said that they're going to be getting a 50-50 split. For now, don't count on that by game six. Once they realize this kid can do what he can do,
and
he showed part of it last game. Trust me. Well, the bringing this kid along slowly. Week six. I'm thumping week six. This kid is a very dynamic player and going to put another wrinkle into the offense of the Cincinnati Bengals along with AJ Green. So they do need a dynamic duo. Versus a one-man show in A.J. Green. Andy Dalton's not a superstar, and he's a very inconsistent quarterback. He, more or less, when he throws it to A.J. Green, he's thrown it because A.J. Green is such a dynamic player. He can make up for a lot of mistakes Andy Dalton creates.
Definitely.
You got this guy coming off out of the backfield, running the ball, and also catching the ball out of the backfield. I told you before, I've been telling you for years, if you've been listening to me, I love dual-threat running backs, and this is a dual-threat running back with a big play potential. Rick, talk to me.
Hey, I think yesterday I let the people know. You know, I have to go with the obvious, but something is just it's something itching me right now, making me want to just say Cincinnati is going to do this. Cincinnati is just like you say. Dalton isn't consistent. You know, he throws it to AJ Green, and AJ Green can make almost any catch, regardless
right.
of where the ball is.
Right.
They don't have what is it? I think it was what was the second receiver? Andrew, the slot. They don't have him out there. Hawkins. They don't have Hawkins out there, and the fact that Bernard is actually going to be in a 50-50 today, that's the thing that's really going to mess Green Bay up because they can prepare all they want for BJE. But
mm-hmm.
BGE, I'm sorry. But something's telling me Cincinnati's at home. Now, that's not an easy spot to play in, especially when they win it. It's not
right.
a very easy play. I really think Cincinnati is going to squeak this out of here. They're going to squeak it out of here. It's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
But I just got a feeling they can squeak this out. If they win today, they're going to take that North Division. They're going to take it for some reason.
Okay.
But that's a great play. If you got Gio Bernard, play Gio Bernard. Of course you play Green all the time. You always play Green.
On the other side of the ball, quite naturally, Aaron Rodgers is an every week play. There's no two ways about that.
Every week.
In my opinion, Jermichael Finley is going to have a pretty good day today. I know that the other caller that's sitting on here knows thinks I have a man crush, and I kidnap Jermichael Finley every year. But I told you earlier in the before the season started that he was going to have a comeback year. He's going to be playing better this year, meaning I'm talking to Vic, and he is playing better. He's in a contract year, which is key. Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson, this is going to be a problem, and that's why I figured that with all this firepower Green Bay has in this game, you can play all these guys. If you have any one of these guys, and you should have at least one of a Green Bay Packer on your team, because they are good for points and pretty good points, and especially the wide receivers I think Randall Cobb is a wide receiver one, in my opinion here. And tell you the truth, I think Jordy Nelson is very close to Randall Cobb today. And I think this is going to they're going to try to rack up some points against Cincinnati to win this game. And also, the only problem I have here is James Jones. He's a hit or miss type of guy. And if these other guys are getting involved, James Jones is going to be the odd man out. And the other one, I'm going to leave him for last because that's the reason why. There's a reason why everybody, because of what happened last week against the Washington Redskins, jumped all over James Starks and to grab him because they think that he's going to be running for over 100 yards every week. And that was his, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was his first 100-yard game of his career. And I think the first in 45 games, if I'm not mistaken, for the Green Bay Packers to have a 100-yard rusher. So don't expect James Starks to have too much going here. Like I said yesterday, and I'll say it again today, I'll be surprised if he gets 80 yards. I'm really surprised if he gets 80 yards. So he's not a one. He's not definitely not a one. He's definitely not a two. He's about a flex play at the best for me. So if you want to play James Starks, go right ahead, Mr. Gardner, and I'll bring you in. Go right ahead, but don't expect too much from him. Hello, Mr. Gardner. How you doing today?
I'm doing exceptionally well, Mr. Taylor and Mr. Stevens. You know, I'm glad you spoke about what you spoke about because you're full of flatulence today. And, you know, it's
no problem.
However, one thing, I don't know if you guys talked about it or not, but it's a big, big topic right now. Von Miller was busted for corrupting his urinalysis taker. So his suspension has been stepped up to 6 weeks pending the investigation, which can turn into a year-long suspension. So he go around and he bribed the collection person and said he doesn't turn it in, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the NFL found out, and now they're summoning the collection agency to New York. And Roger Goodell and the Compass Committee and all those folks are going to change the specimen. This wasn't the first time that Vaughn did this. So,
okay.
He's doing that. But as far as the games and stuff go, the game you're talking about, Green Bay and Cincinnati, you know, I'm glad you got Giovanni Bernard. He's a great, great pick up for whatever team you got him on. I think that this is going to be a very pass-happy game, so he's going to see more time than the law firm because he has better hands and more explosive. But, I, again, like I said yesterday, I think both backs are going to run the ball really well. James Starks, if he gets 80 yards and one or two touchdowns, that's good enough. He doesn't need to be 100-yard back.
He's not going to get a touchdown today. He won't get a touchdown
likelihood,
today.
Okay, whatever. The likelihood of going in Cincinnati is not high if Cincinnati comes out with the right game plan. That's the bottom line. So I'm going to let you guys go back to what you're saying. As I prepare to go to FedEx Field and watch my Redskins beat up on those Lions.
Okay. Let me bring in another caller from the 301. I think I know who this is. Caller from the 301, welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and tell me what you got to say. I think it's Macau. What's up?
What's up, man? What's going on?
How you doing? Let me tell you something, Macau. Unlike your cousin, when I see a number pump up there, I know almost positively two numbers that pump up that I recognize right away. Every time you call, I shout out your name before you even talk because I see your number coming up there. What's up?
It is absolutely essential to throw your monkey butt up under the bus on your show.
Absolutely essential.
This will be remembered. I mean,
this man.
We want you to remember it.
Yo, this man throws everybody else under the bus, but when we throw him under the bus, what happens? We get muted.
I'm gonna mute you.
I only throw you under the bus when I've been attacked. That's the only time I throw you under the bus.
Victor, calm down, Victor. It's all in fun, man. It's all in fun. Come on, man.
I will attack soon. Trust me.
Okay. Please attack PayPal and pay me on next Friday. Oh, how about that?
Too sweet.
That's gonna happen.
Anyway, let's move on to my next game. Okay, I'll move on to the another 1 o'clock game. That's going to be taking place on Fox. Happens to be an NFC East team that's involved. The NFC West visits the NFC East, talking about the St. Louis Rams visiting the Dallas Cowboys. I know there's a man crush on a running back that Mr. Gardner likes in his game. And I happen to think that he's probably going to get a little bit more carries because they're not too enthralled or happy with the play of Darrell Richardson. I'm talking about Isaiah Pede. I think he's going to be getting a little bit more touches as he acclimates himself to the newest season. He had a game suspension, and I think as more and more as the season goes on, he's going to get more involved. This may be a running back by committee. If Darrell Richardson doesn't show more, I think Isaiah Pease will take over the majority of the carries. Along with that, I think this is going to be it's going to be a tough game, but I think these two quarterbacks are going to have to win this game for their team. Sam Bradford has got to show that he can do something with his new toys. I'm talking about Tavon Austin, Austin Pettis, who had a very good day last week. And Jared Cook, who was in the witness protection plan last week because he broke out the first week, and the second week he barely got two catches. I think it was horrible for they completely shut Jared Cook down last week, and I think he needs to get back on track. And against the Dallas Cowboys, I think he can do it. They want to get I'm just reading the tea leaves that Jason Garrett didn't exactly, but he came very close to throwing the offensive coordinator under the bus, saying he wanted to run the ball more, but he's not the play caller. So that's just a jab at Mr. Jones and the play caller, and I think DeMarco Murray is going to try to run the ball more, but this is a very stiff defense to run the ball against. I think that this game is going to be one in the air. I'm looking for Dez Bryant. Definitely going to have something going here. But I'm thinking Miles Austin is going to have four or five catches here at about 50 yards. And I think he's going to get into the end zone here. Anybody want to add anything to what I said here? Let me go to Victor. Let me go to Victor first. And then Ricky, and I'll wind up with Macau. And that's how we're going to do it for the rest of the way.
Okay. I think I don't have a man crush on Isaiah Pete. I just think he's the better. And once Jeff Fisher inserts him, he's going to have to come back.
You're breaking up, Victor.
Hold on.
All
right. I got you on speakerphone now.
Okay.
As I was saying, I think that Fisher likes Pete a lot better because he's the type of back that he's used to. Will it, you know, turn into the Isaiah Pete running backfield? Maybe, maybe not. Again, this is a tough defense that Dallas is going up against, much like KT's. Great front four, very good linebackers, and very good secondary. Will they have the same result? I don't know. They're playing in St. Louis, so that has something to do with it. But the problem I see is just the offense. They're not a definite offense up here in St. Louis, so Dallas should win, but I don't think they're going to be a easy win. And one more thing before I get off here is that on the Von Miller thing, his parents had to move in with him. That's crazy. You're a grown man. But in order to get your life together, your parents have to move in with you. That's sad. I just wanted to put that out there. But, yeah, that's what I got on the Cowboys and St. Louis.
All right, Ricky.
Well, I think today they're going to play in Dallas.
Yes,
but
they are.
I do like Isaiah P. better than Richardson. Like I said before, I don't understand why he picked Richardson. Maybe he saw something that we didn't see. But once Pete gets in there, I definitely think it's going to be a better – they'll be a little better as far as their offensive execution when it comes to the running game. Now, the passing game, like you say, Bradford needs to find a way to get Tavon Austin and Pettis a little more involved in this offense that they're trying to execute. Finally, Vic's cousin is here. Go to Mike. I'm giving this to Dallas, though.
All right, McKell.
You know, I think this is going to be a hell of a game. Jeff Fisher is definitely going to have them boys in shape. I'm looking forward to seeing Bradford. I had to check every time if I'm saying that right, because I get them boys mixed up. Stafford and Bradford, I don't know why. But Bradford. I look for Bradford to eke out this win. I don't know. Well, it is the regular season, and Romo does, you know, have on a Superman suit during the regular season. So it's not playoffs. So I'm still gonna give an inch to the Rams because, you know, I don't like Dallas.
Okay. All right, let's move on to another game here I want to play. It's still another 1 o'clock game, and this team from the West Coast is going back over to the East Coast again for the second time, talking about the San Diego Chargers versus the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee. And everybody's jumping on the San Diego Chargers bandwagon. They had two good showings. One came to a win, one came to a loss, but they still had two good showings. I think the Titans, with their defense, are I wouldn't say good play here, but Philip Rivers may be having a comeback or resurgence from the last few years with Norvell Turner. Now he's with a new head coach and coaching staff, and having him getting the ball out a lot quicker. Making more decisive decisions quicker. I think he's a pretty good play here, okay? I think he's not going to have a 300-yard game, but I think he'll have a decent game, 270 yards and a couple touchdowns. I have a very hard time, whether it's in standard or PPR, to talk about any of these running backs. Either Ryan Matthews, Danny Woodhead, or Ronnie Brown, for the simple fact is the three-headed backfield and you never know who's going to get the majority of the touches. It depends on the game flow. I had spoken earlier in the before the season started. I thought Antonio Gates was going to have a I wouldn't say an Antonio Gates type of year, but he would have a better year than he had for the last two seasons because he's healthy. He doesn't have the foot problems that he's had for the last two seasons. And Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates have a very good rapport with each other. Now, Malcolm Floyd, who was the number one receiver, is out. Eddie Royal, who's been having a monster year, has already had five touchdowns this year and been putting up big numbers for the first two games. I'm not sure what he's going to do here. I really don't. I know they're probably going to be going to him quite a bit, but you don't think the Tennessee Titans do not know that and are going to key on Eddie Royal? I have to think because the Titans are pretty much known. They're known for having some decent DBs that they're going to be keying on Eddie Royal and try to shut him down and have Philip Rivers go to other avenues like Vincent Brown for one. So what you saw in Eddie Royal the first two games, don't expect, in my opinion, that to happen. On the other side, you know I don't like Jake Locker. I think he's one of the worst quarterbacks along with Christian Ponder and Blaine Gabbert. I bunched those three quarterbacks together because I think they're some of the most sorriest excuse for a starting quarterback in the league, and I can't believe that they put these guys out there as a starting quarterbacks. It boggles my mind that they do something like that. Anyway, with that being said, I think Chris Johnson's going to have a decent day today. I think he's going to run for close to 100 yards against the Chargers, and I think he's going to get into the end zone. I don't like, and I've said it before, I don't like any of these wide receivers because of Jake Locker. He absolutely, I got a five-letter word for Jake Locker. He sucks. Plain and simple. He sucks. and I don't like him, never liked him. He's close to 50, or if not less, 50% in pass percentage. He's absolutely horrible. Kenny Britt has been a consistent problem and was a problem last week of lackadaisical play and not being able, not blocking well. This wide receiving core, because of the quarterback, is a mess. They rely on their defense to keep them in the games, because their offense is so inept. So, being that said, I still think because the Titans are home and the Chargers are going come back to the East Coast, and I'm picking this one. I think I like the Titans to win the game. Order is with Vic, Rick, and Mikal. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Vic.
I think this game is a lot closer and a lot even. Like I said yesterday, I think it's going to be probably a very good game. The thing is, Tennessee is much like the Ravens were prior to Flacco. When would you be that your quarterback manage the team with a lackluster set of tools? And they're doing it so far. The only thing I don't see happening is I don't see Tennessee being able to keep up if San Diego gets out to a lead. So my thought process is San Diego gets out to a lead behind Eddie Royal, Ryan Matthews, and Antonio Gates, and then they have to play catch-up, and then they get exposed. There's got to be some hits in this game. I have to say that. There's got to be some hits. But other than that, I'm picking San Diego, and I would play all three guys that I just said, if you got them. I just played it for Ryan Matthews, so of course I'm going to play it.
Okay, Rick?
One thing I do notice, I haven't seen Eddie Royal play as well as he's played since Shanahan was out there in Denver. Yeah, he's been injured, but the boy looks like he's forming back to the way he used to be. So that's definitely a plus for them. as far as their running game, I really, Ryan Matthews has to do a lot more than what he's done to show me that he's going to be a person of interest. So I really have no interest in him. I do like Tennessee's defense, but the only thing they really have in their secondary is Bernard Pollard. So that's going to be a problem for them. As far as their offense goes, the only one I'm rooting for is Johnson. Kenny Britt is disappointing right now because he's causing them so many problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still waiting on Kendall Wright and Damian Williams to do what they've done. So that is really what's going to help Jake Locker. I don't feel as strongly about Jake Locker as you do. I think I have a little more confidence in him. But I think that because San Diego's coming over here, they can't do it twice. I don't think they can come to the East Coast twice and pull that off. So I believe I picked Tennessee yesterday. I'm not sure, but that's probably who I'm going to go with just because of the Johnson factor. I have a little more confidence in that than I do San Diego's defense, even though they've looked okay. They've looked okay, but that's who I'm going to go with.
Mikal?
I got a quick question. Has anybody seen that Manti Te'o? Has anybody seen him?
He's still hurt.
He's with his girl. He's with his girl.
Oh.
He's still hurt. He's not playing this game.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since Manti Te'o is not playing, I'm going to go with Tennessee. I do share Jerry's sentiments about Locker, but I don't feel that strong about it. I don't feel as strong as he do about it. I just don't. I just think he got to prove it. He got to prove it. You know, it's pass to pass with him. Every pass. So, yeah. And I do think Tennessee will take this out because I just think San Diego, they don't look stable. They don't look stable at all.
Okay. Well, all I got to say about these three quarterbacks of that name, Locker, Ponder and Gabbert, they are who we think they are. That's all I can say. and you can't let them off the hook because they've had enough playing time. So they are who we think they are. What you see is what you get. And leading that into that, this is one of these games that you play the Minnesota defense because we're talking about the Cleveland Browns going to Minnesota to play the Minnesota Vikings. Now, this is one backup quarterback to a what should be another backup quarterback and not a starting quarterback. I'm talking about Brian Hoyer, who's the third-string quarterback for Cleveland, playing Christian Ponder, who should be a backup quarterback and not a starting quarterback. This is one of these quarterbacks. I'm talking about Christian Ponder that I think is absolutely horrible. Highly inconsistent, rely too much, too heavily, and I understand because they have the number one rusher, the MVP of the league last year in Adrian Peterson. But when you go 100 miles an hour, week after week after week, sooner or later you're going to break down. And if you rely on Adrian Peterson too much, sooner or later, that machine it's going to come to a breaking point, and I truly believe that. And in this game, now I stated it yesterday, and I'm going to state it again today. There's a reason why they went to the third-string quarterback versus going to Jason Campbell. I think, and it's just a hunch, a gut feeling, that this guy fits the – not perfectly, but this is the closest that he fits the type of offense they want to run with the injury to Brandon Weeden. So Josh Gordon, I think he gets into the end zone with a touchdown pass for Brian Hoyer. I really believe that. I'm not saying it's going to be pretty because the Cleveland Browns are going to be a three-headed monster with the addition of Willis McGahee in here. and Bobby Rainey and Chris Agbayana, that's the only two options that you, offensive options you have that you can count on is Jordan Cameron for one, and the return of Josh Gordon for another, who happens to be a very good wide receiver. Unfortunately, we'll have to wait and see what happens with Brian Hoyer. On the other side, quite naturally, you play Adrian Peterson, and I have a very hard time playing any wide receivers in Minnesota because of the simple fact how bad Christian Ponder is, how inconsistent he is. The only one I can guarantee is going to get looks because that's the quarterbacks, especially an inaccurate quarterback and a quarterback that's not too accurate throwing down the field and a young quarterback, is their tight end. So if you have Kyle Rudolph, I think that's a very good play today because the fact is Christian Ponder loves throwing to him because he's a safe outlet for him versus throwing to his wide receivers because of his inconsistent play. Victor.
Well, you know, I agree with the tight end play with Jordan and Kyle Rudolph. I actually think that if Ponder starts to flounder, that you might even see a castle sighting. Really. Cleveland's defense isn't bad. It isn't bad at all.
You're right.
It's their offense.
Yep.
If Hoyer can get them a spark and move the ball, then by all means go with Hoyer and let them go. But Willis is going to come off the street, and he's going to run on that defense. Minnesota's run defense is not that good. It's not. Their secondary is okay. So there'll be room for him to go. Yeah, he'll be platooning in and out with Agbayani and Rainey a little bit. But Cleveland could pull the upset off. I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I think it's going to be a AP Kyle Rudolph type game. It's I believe it's in Minnesota. So,
yes.
I'm picking Minnesota. I'm picking Minnesota, and I'm picking those players to stand out. Look for at least 2 to 3 interceptions from Christian Ponder in this game. I really think that's going to happen. 2 to 3 interceptions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he's another one of them five-letter words. Sucks,
well,
in my opinion.
It's the best defense he's seen thus far, and he's going to try to throw on Calvin Hayden, and that's going to be a bad move on him. Because
Hayden's going to
take it back
to this. Yep. All right, Rick.
I don't think I spoke on this game yesterday, and I really don't want to chime in on it now because it's worthless. But I'm just waiting on my guy, Cordero Patterson. That's the only one I'm waiting on. He may be you'll see him on offense a little bit today. That's going to be the change for them if they can get him going.
Okay. Mikal.
Who is this? It's Minnesota against who?
Cleveland in Minnesota.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Cleveland is, they have just, you know, nuclear bombed their team. They just said, you know what, this team ain't what we think it is, and we just going to go ahead and rebuild it, everything. So, you know, Whedon is up out of there. And, you know, Jason can't. They already saying they ain't going with a journeyman, so Jason just out of there. And, you know, now they've gone to this third quarterback. And who knows what Cleveland's going to do. I'm going to go with Minnesota just because of that, but not by so much. Hopefully they'll just give it to 28 and just, you know, call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
But if Ponder out there and start throwing that ball up like he Aaron Rodgers, problem.
Right. And the thing about it is that, you know, Matt Castle is really, really not a real good quarterback, but I think he's a better quarterback and more experienced quarterback than Christian Ponder. I don't know how long they're going to stay with. I don't know how long, much longer these teams can stay with these very inconsistent young quarterbacks. Christian Ponder, Jake Locker, and Blaine Gabbert's hurt, so Chad Henne's playing. I mean, I think these guys came out of the same class, and they've proven over the years that they've been playing that their play hasn't got any better or that much better. They are who you think they are. It's obvious.
Right.
So
right.
I don't understand why they trot these teams trot these players out. I understand they first-round picks or something like that, so they got to give them every chance in the book. Well, I think if they've gotten every chance in the book and then some, and they've proven that they are just what you think they are, what do you see on the field, a little more than maybe 50% pass percentage and very inconsistent play and very turnover-prone, why put your team season after season through the same thing without trying to get a better option at quarterback position? And it's holding, it's obvious, it's holding Minnesota back, it's holding Tennessee back, and it would make give a better feeling for Jacksonville if they had a better quarterback. They have options. All three of these teams have players except for the quarterback. So I don't understand it, and I don't understand the brain trust or the upper management of all three of these teams, why they consistently put themselves through this torture every year, and it doesn't get any better. It's the same consistent, inconsistent play and turnover-prone play and dumb mistakes at the wrong time. It boggles my mind. These guys get paid millions of dollars, and I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the front office and the head coaches get paid millions of dollars to make decisions for their teams, to put the teams in the best position to win, and they have these three quarterbacks in the marquee position on their teams, and they're really holding their teams back. Anyway, let me get off my soapbox, and let's go on to the next game, which is another inconsistent quarterback. There's a lot of them this year. In fact, there was two, and one surprising and one not so surprising. I'm talking about Tampa Bay going to New England to play the New England Patriots. Two plays in here for me, and one is a wide receiver three play. Doug Martin is definitely a running back one here. I think he's going to go for 100 yards, at least one touchdown. Vincent Jackson, which Josh Freeman, even though he's very inconsistent, he does get the ball to Vincent Jackson on a regular basis. I think he gets over 80 yards in this game, and I think he gets into the end zone. And Mike Williams, I think he's a wide receiver three in here, and all he does is catch touchdown passes too. He may not get the amount of yardage that Vincent Jackson gets, but they do look for him, especially Josh Friedman does look for him when they get into the red zone. On the other side, Tom Brady. Where are you at, Tom Brady? He's been highly inconsistent and not the Tom Brady of past seasons. Hopefully he can turn it around or get a consistent play in here. I have to think that New England playing at home will pull this game out. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty. Stephen Ridley going to have a tough way to go against a stiff Tampa Bay defense. Gronkowski is not going to play. Aaron Dobson and Cambrell Tompkins, you guys need to step up. You've been highly inconsistent, and you need to step up and give Julian Edelman some help. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the person that's going to be on Revis Island today is Cambrell Tompkins. So he's in for another rough go like he was last week. And I think he's going to be in for another rough go against one of the best corners in the league, Darrell Revis. With that being said, I'm not going to pick a winner. I'm going to leave it to you guys. Go to Victor, Rick, Mikal. Vic.
As you know, I think the Patriots are going to suck again this year. So I'm definitely, even though there's trouble in Tampa Bay, there's trouble with the coaching and stuff like that. You know, people aren't used to being talked to like kids and whatnot. They're going to go up there and they're going to destroy the Patriots. I mean, listen to what I'm saying. They held the Saints under 20 points. The defense isn't bad. The offense really isn't that bad. They're mm-hmm. more put together than any team that the Patriots have played thus far. And the team that was closest to Tampa Bay was Buffalo, and they barely beat Buffalo. I really think that the Muscle Hamster is going to have a huge game today. Vincent Jackson is going to have a huge game. Freeman is going to throw for about 250, something like that. It's just going to be, in my opinion, a game that proves that the Patriots can't win without the complementing players around Brady. He can't do it all by himself. He can't throw the ball and catch it at the same time. That's why he targeted Julian Edelman, I think, 19 times when they played the Jets, and he caught 13 of them. Gronk looks like he's not going to play, and the tight end is the position that Tampa Bay has a problem covering. So Zutphil might be a guy you can try to snatch up and hope that he produces today. But Tampa Bay goes up to New England and puts it on, especially since it was bad weather yesterday. Field might not be in the best condition, and they're going to run the Muscle Hamster up and down that field. And by the way, even Brady's offensive lineman said, and there was a quote, I can't remember exactly which one it was, it said, the way that we can get better is just run the ball. So Ridley and LeGarrette Blount, they might get a healthy dose, but it's not going to be enough to stop Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Wow. Well, I can't go against Brady. I just can't, because that's who it is. But I believe teams have figured out that if you take the middle of the field away from Brady, it's harder for him to do what he needs to do. Those guys, Kimbrell Tompkins and Dobson, they haven't had the best beginnings right now during the season. So they've come back to earth, and Brady just needs to work with them. I'm really looking for Edelman to eat up the middle of the field for the simple fact of what Vic said. It's hard for the Bucs to cover the tight end, but it's the middle altogether. It's the middle of that field that they're going to have a problem with. Their defense by far is not a slouch. So Ridley, I think you're going to see a lot of catches out of the backfield from Ridley. I think Brady and them pull out another squeaker, because it's not going to be easy for them. I don't have confidence in Josh Freeman like you do, or like probably anybody else. He's just not that quarterback to me. I'm going to stay with New England. And it's in New England. I'm definitely staying with New England.
All right, McCap.
Yeah, I think that, New England, when New England sucks, they're still 10-6. You know what I'm saying? So, we totally get your whole point, Vic. New England sucks, but when New England sucks, they're still 10-6. This game is a real toss-up. Not only is New England, they're just not playing, contender football. The Buccaneers are a train wreck. They are. Defense is put together nice. I mean, they've got all the pieces together, but you got a D-head, and I'm being nice because today's Sunday, you got a D-head running that team. It's a mutiny going on. They having players meetings to discuss the man's style. I mean, really? I mean, they are a wreck waiting to happen. It's just, mm-hmm. when is it all going to just totally explode? Because it's exploding right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they turning on Josh Freeman, all that kind of kernel. I just don't see them being able to get over themselves. You know what I mean? I don't see that. I just don't see it. However, they do have enough talent to make this game a go. So I'm taking New England by between 1 and 3 points. Definitely plus two.
Okay.
Terrible.
Okay. All right.
Terrible pick game.
All right, let's move on to another game down the Big Easy. Talking about the Arizona Cardinals with the New Orleans Saints. trouble brewing, I wouldn't say trouble, but Drew Brees, for the most part, hasn't been the same this year. He was held to some very mediocre statistics last week against Tampa Bay. And he's going up against another stiff defense with Patrick Peterson and the Honey Badger, among others, in the defensive backfield, along with that very good defensive line of Arizona. But being that being said, I think this is going to be a shootout, but these are two pass-happy teams that like to throw the ball around the field. Larry Fitz is supposedly a game-time decision. He's supposed to be a lot better than he was last week. Hopefully his hamstring holds up because he's going to be needed in this game with Carson Palmer. If you have no other options, I would say no other options, but this is probably one of these games that I would put Carson Palmer in because they're really going to be throwing the ball around. And even though the defense has changed in New Orleans, I still think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for making big plays in this game. And Carson Palmer can be a big play quarterback, throwing at Larry Fitzgerald or Michael Floyd, and a little bit of Andre Roberts. I do like Michael Floyd in this game. I think they're going to try to key on Larry Fitzgerald, so Michael Floyd is going to play a decent role in here. Now, I had said yesterday, there's some surprise plays, players, people that not be thinking about in this game. Well, this is one of them. This kid is sitting behind Rashad Mendenhall, who's not the healthiest of running backs. Rashad Mendenhall doesn't have the best hands. This kid's got the best hands of all the running backs on the team, and it can be a dynamic player, especially in a pass-happy game of Bruce Arians. Talking about Andre Ellington. Look for this kid to get more touches and be more of a dynamic player in this Cardinals pass-happy offense. I wouldn't be surprised if Rashad Mendenhall gets hurt, and it's a strong possibility being that Mendenhall does have a history of not being able to stay on the field on a consistent basis, that Mr. Ellington, first name Andre, becomes the starting running back if he goes down. He's going to start getting more touches as the season goes on. If you have a spot on your roster, I suggest putting Mr. Andre Ellington on your roster. Just to wait and see, because I do believe he's going to be doing a lot more in the coming weeks, if not this week. On the other side, there's really not too many other players I can say to not play. Drew Brees is a play. Darren Sproles is a play. Jimmy Graham, quite naturally. Marcus Colston. There's two guys in here. Obviously, in the class that they thought they had a very good running back, I'm talking about Mark Ingram. They don't have a good running back in Mark Ingram. He's not what they thought he was. So they're reverting, for the most part, back to Pierre Thomas. So Pierre Thomas is on a lot of waiver wires. He can be a flex play here, definitely, because I think he's going to get involved in the offense, even though Darren Sproles is involved in the running game. I think he's going to try to run the ball with Pierre Thomas. And this other kid, Lance Moore, is like on a witness protection program. And you don't see him that much. That's because they have another speedster, another kid on the rise, and you're going to see more and more of this guy. And Ricky and I talked about him before. We're talking about Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills is in my opinion, taking over Lance's more position, and he's got a lot more quicks than Lance Moore does. So with that being said, let me go to Rick because Vic is no longer with us. Go to Rick and then Macau. Talk to me.
Lance Moore is disappointing me this year. I had high hopes for this guy, but as usual, he always disappears, and then it's like 3 or 4 weeks out of the year, he's all of a sudden the man.
Right.
I really think that New Orleans is going to have a problem with this team. I think they're going to win, but they're going to have a problem with them because the defensive backfield of Arizona is just, they're amazing to me. The rookie Matthew, he's doing his thing. Patrick Peterson is always going to be Patrick Peterson. We know that. So they're really the catalyst of this of the secondary, and that causes the defensive front to get the type of pressure that they're getting on this team. I mean, on teams that they play. It's not going to be easy for New Orleans. I think Darren Sproles and Pierre are going to be the reasons whether they win or lose this game, because Colston is going to be just bottled up. And the fact that Moore is not doing anything, Kenny Stills is still young. He's got a lot of promise, but he's a young dude. And I really don't see too much coming from this wide receiver spot, even though Drew Brees knows how to get people in open spaces. But New Orleans still wins, but I just really think it's going to be a tough game for them. On the other side, Arizona, like you say, Mendenhall gets hurt. The dude, Ellington, I keep hearing about him, and I never sit there and actually watch him, so I need to see what he's about, because this does look like the guy, Andre Ellington. He does look like the guy that is probably going to supplant Mendenhall, like you say. I was thinking it was going to be Alphonso Smith, but he hasn't done anything either. So I'm really going to pay attention to their running game today, so I can see if he's going to get it in. But I'm New Orleans. I got to give it to them because they're in New Orleans, and that's a tough place to play. Also,
Macau.
What are the two teams here?
We're talking about the Arizona Cardinals visiting the New Orleans Saints.
Ooh, it's going to be a good little game.
Yep.
I'm going to go with New Orleans. I think they are so lucky. You know what I mean? They are really lucky, you know. Bob Ryan is, he's suspect, but they kind of hit or miss. Right now it seems like they hitting. You know what I mean? They playing just right or whatever. Of course, I can't go against Drew Brees. I like Austin Palmer. Of course, Larry Fitz. Cardinals be decent, but I'm going to go with the Saints.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to a game you guys are very interested in, another 1 o'clock game, the Detroit Lions visiting the Washington Redskins, which, in fact, I think Mr. Gardner is on his way to the game. I got a text. He's no longer with us, so he texted me he's on his way to the game. So he's going to be watching the game from wherever he's going to be in the stands. Anyway, this is and I hate to say it, guys, but you know it, this is probably one of the worst defenses in the league. They get torched over and over again. And I think this is not going to go away today. I think Matthew Stafford is a huge play in here. From what I understand, Reggie Bush is not going to play. If he plays, it's going to be on a very limited basis. He's pushing the play. They want him to sit. They're looking for him to sit today and let one of my best plays today. If this kid plays today, this is like the perfect storm with this kid. He had double digits when Reggie Bush was in the roster on the starting team, and now he's going to get the majority of the touches. I'm talking about Joyke Bell. If you have Joyke Bell, and I happen to have him at least in one of my leagues, because he happens to be the handcuff of a Reggie Bush. Get him into your lineup. This is probably the perfect storm that Drake Bell is probably going to have one of the better weeks going against this very weak offense, defense of the Washington Redskins. I'm sorry, guys, but I got to be truthful here. Calvin Johnson is a huge play. Ryan Broyles is coming back today. He's supposed to be playing today because Pat Edwards, the other wide receiver, it's got an ankle issue. I don't see Ryan Broyles doing too much. I think it's all going to rely on Joyke Bell and Calvin Johnson with a little sprinkle of the other wide receivers like Nate Burleson around, which I think he also gets into the end zone. So those are great plays in my opinion because I think there's going to be a lot of offense in this game. I think there's going to be a lot of offense in this game. On the other side, we have Robert Griffin. Hopefully he shows out better than he has the first two games, especially in the first half of the first two games. Hopefully he plays a complete game versus only a half of football. I see them trying to get the ball like they normally do to Alfred Morris, who happens to be running the ball. The surprise guy here to me, and I've watched the last two Redskins games, and this guy's been surprising me, is Jordan Reed. They're not going to Fred Davis. They're going to Jordan Reed because he's been doing more. He's been playing better than Fred Davis.
I told you.
I never heard of this kid, but
I told you that Davis is not that guy. Remember me telling you? Not that guy.
Right. So and this Jordan Reed, it's looking like he's a bigger guy, and he seems like he's a more dynamic player with a little bit of run after the catch. So if you're stuck for a tight end for whatever reason, I wouldn't mind trying to jump on this guy. You're not going to get a lot, but you're going to get, I think he's pretty consistent, 4 or 5 catches, about 30 to 40 yards, somewhere around there. So he's been pretty consistent for the first 2 weeks, and I don't see any reason why he won't be consistent here. Quite naturally, I'm looking for Pierre Garçon because that's Robert Griffin's, one of his main targets is Pierre Garçon. And maybe sprinkled in with a little Leonard Hankerson. With that being said, let me go to the two Redskin fans, Rick and Mikal.
Well, I'm sticking by my 5,000-yard RG3 season prediction. Like I said, I think they're going to win. I don't care how bad that defense looks. It isn't going to take but a quick 20-yard run for this guy to show the world that he's still the same person. That's all it's going to take. Yeah, the defense looks like trash. So Calvin Johnson is going to scorch the secondary. So what? I don't even care. I'm hoping that the field is still damp from all that rain we got last night because it poured down out here. So I'm sticking with the Skins. Jordan Reed, he's definitely going to be a big part of that offense. Ever since Fred Davis came to us, he's been one to fumble at least 3 times out of the year. That took him out of the picture for me altogether, and I was hoping that they would get somebody else. I'm happy they got Reed. I like Paulson also. He's a big guy that can block, and he's pretty good catching the ball. So I'm looking for the Redskins to finally pick up win number one today.
Yeah, I agree with you. I look for them to pick up the win number one. But, you know, back to Davis, you know, you know what Davis's problem is, and he's always had it. He does not bail the quarterback out. He didn't do it with when Rexy was the quarterback, and when Cooley was here. And I remember being on this show, and I was saying Cooley's the better tight end. You know what I mean? He's the better one because he bails the quarterback out. Davis does not bail the quarterback out. He does not do it. I mean, he don't come back to the ball. None of that stuff, man. I mean, Paul. That's why Paulson and this boy Reed play well with mm-hmm. with Robert Griffin, because they read Robert Griffin. They run the routes, right? But majority, they're reading Robert Griffin, period. They read the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? This Davis don't read the quarterback at all. He's just horrible with it.
That's one good thing about a tight end. You can tell if the quarterback gets flushed out of the pocket, the tight end is the first one to float to wherever the quarterback is going.
And right,
Davis,
exactly.
Like you say, Davis never does it. He hasn't
he
done
don't
it,
do
and
it.
He's been here, and he still doesn't do it. So it's like, what's your purpose? You know what I'm saying? Paul, they threw him in the backfield. You can throw Jordan Reed in the backfield. They can play fullback. They can play that flex position that Joe Gibbs always had, the H back. They can do that. But Fred Davis, he's just not that guy.
No, he is absolutely not that guy.
All right.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Miguel. Finish your
talk. I was just gonna say I look for this defense to wrap this, you know, to wrap up. If I do believe Reggie Bush is going to play this game. I don't think he's gonna sit out. I think they engaging in a little bullshittery. I think they doing that. But I think he's gonna play, but I don't think your man gonna have a good day if he don't play. Bell, I don't see it. I think they need to have Reggie out there for it to make an impact out there, because these boys gonna be tackling today. They're gonna be tackling today. But Calvin Johnson should have probably about 10 catches, probably 2 or 3 touchdowns.
If you got Calvin Johnson, I'm telling you, you better be happy. He's going to put up about a good 30 fantasy points. I'm giving him 2 touchdowns.
Sure
like
is.
That. He's going to get his.
All right, let's move on to the go down to North Carolina. The Carolina Panthers are hosting the New York Giants. Carolina hasn't played that bad. I mean, the defense hasn't played that bad. I think the offense is lagging behind. But against the New York Giants in that defensive backfield, I think Cam Newton finally has a Cam Newton type of day. I think Cam Newton is going to show out well here. I think this is a forgotten man. I still like this kid. I picked him up because as soon as I saw that the dynamic – I'm saying this sarcastically. The dynamic duo backfield of Stewart and Williams, now we're going to be a single-headed monster in D'Angelo Williams. I think that's the break he needed to be the single back. So I picked up D'Angelo Williams in a few of my leagues because the fact is I like D'Angelo Williams and I think he's going to be an effective back. Plus the fact is they're going to have Cam. They want Cam to stay in the pocket more versus running. So, and against this defense of the New York Giants, I think Carolina playing at home can definitely run the ball against the New York Giants. Quite naturally, Cam Newton is looking for his two receivers, one being a legit wide receiver in Steve Smith and the other one being a tight end being Greg Olsen, because there's really not too much else out there that's going to be on be performing on a consistent basis. So those are the plays that I have on Carolina. On the other side, and I said this last week, and I mean last night, afternoon, and I'll say it again. They're going to give this kid the ball early and often, David Wilson. The key to get this kid, I saw it on a morning program on the NFL Network. A former Giant said that they should be giving this kid the ball. Like I said yesterday, they should be giving this kid the ball and just let him go. Not having the kid worry about if you make a mistake, we're going to pull you. Give the kid the ball. If you believe in him, give him the ball and let him run this ball. So, people, if you have David Wilson, do not give up on David Wilson of the New York Giants. Do not give up on him. He's that type of player. The coach just needs to give the player the confidence that he needs in him to give him the ball and let him run. Now, this is a tough team to run against, but give the kid the ball. You're going to play Victor Cruz. You're going to play Hakeem Nicks. And well, I don't know about playing Eli Manning. You can play him if you want to, but I normally don't play Eli Manning on any of my teams. With that being said, let's go to Rick. Carolina hosting the Giants. Talk to me, Rick.
I don't know if this is a game I picked yesterday or not, but this is another one I really don't want to talk about.
Okay, no problem.
I do think, though, that the Giants are going to win this game. I don't see them doing too much because they have a lot of problems too. I think Coughlin is striking fear into that boy, Wilson, and Wilson just isn't performing. Like you say, you need to just go out there, just let him go out there and perform. It's going to come to him. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, it's going to snap in his head. Hey, I'm not helping. I'm hurting him. So let him go out there and perform. I can see if he's giving it up 3 or 4 times a game. That's a problem. But he's definitely the best option that they have back there. As far as receivers, Cruz is going to do what he does. He's going to get his one touchdown. I'm really looking for Ruben Randle to kind of eat up the middle of the field for them because this tight end situation is kind of shaky. Brandon Myers is okay, but he wasn't out there last week for some reason. He really didn't show what he did before. As far as Carolina goes, Cam Newton is the same guy I thought he was when he got drafted. He's okay. He's not that dude to me. You know, the fact that he only has Steve Smith as a receiver and Greg Olsen as a tight end, those are his bailouts right there. So I'm really not looking for them to do much. I'm just waiting on the week that Rivera gets the boot because this team needs a change. And that's the main change that they need right there is Ron Rivera. So I'm looking for the Giants to get their first win today also.
McCap.
Somebody's O has got to go, baby. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness, man. You know what? I feel the same way you feel, Rick. But, you know, Carolina need to get that boy some help, man. Steve Smith, cool. You know what I'm saying? Olsen, okay. But he needs some more help. And I don't see where they're going to get it. Rivera ain't the type of coach that's good for him or whatever. No, Rivera need to be around like a veteran quarterback. He that type of coach. I don't like this whole setup for Cam or whatever. However, I do think that the Giants will take this win out. It's going to be ugly, real ugly. You know, they're going to go back and forth, but they're going to take it probably by about 3 or whatever. I'd be really surprised if Carolina come out and put like they backs up against the wall, you know. They like one of them old school freaks. They just like to get up all up against the wall before they start doing something. So, you know, I think they'll come out and take this.
Okay. All right, let's move on to another 1 o'clock game held down in one of McCall's favorite cities, down in Baltimore. We're talking about my Houston Texans against the world champion Baltimore Ravens. In this game, I see Arian Foster because I think they're going to run the ball a lot and play some power football in this. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. They're thinking about a 50-50 split between Arian Foster and Ben Tate. Well, it hasn't happened in the first two games. It's more been like a 65-35 split, maybe even a 70-30 split in carries and favoring Arian Foster. I see Andre Johnson's coming back from his concussion, so he's going to, I think, have a pretty good day. And this boy, I keep talking about him. I keep talking about him. In fact, I'm wearing his jersey as we speak.
You got a jersey already?
Yes, I got it. I had his jersey in July. DeAndre Hopkins, number 10 on your program. I talked about him over the summer. I talked about him in preseason. and he showed out last weekend. And I'm telling you, only hitting the tip of the iceberg. Just think about this. Matt Ryan with Julio Jones and Roddy White.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Matt Ryan with Julio Jones and Roddy White. Now we have another Matt with Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. I'm telling you, I've been preaching about this kid, and he put on a show when Andre Johnson went down. And I think they're going to put on another show against this Baltimore Ravens, who's going to give a very stiff fight against my Houston Texans. Flacco is going to try to get his. One note here, if you have Ray Rice in your lineup, throw him out.
Take him out.
Put him on the bench. Put him on the bench. Right. He ain't playing today. The capable backup of Bernard Pierce is going to be in, and he's a legit running back two in my position. He's not a running back one. He's going to be able to run a little bit on the Houston Texans and catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a very good backup. He's one of the better backups in the running back position in the National Football League, and I think he's going to get you double-digit points in this game in fantasy. Torrey Smith and this other boy that I like a lot, we'll see if he's going to be able to rise to the occasion. I'm talking about Marlon Brown. Is another kid I talked about last week, and I'll continue to talk about him because he's the other option, especially when Joe Flacco can't really rely on his tight ends like he used to. Marlon Brown is a capable option when they double-team Torrey Smith. And Brown goes over the middle, is unafraid to go over the middle, and he's got capable hands. So with that being said, Rick McCall.
Well, I'm very impressed that you got this guy's jersey because this is like this dude here. I've been on this guy since preseason week one, but of course you put the name in my head, so I had to go pick him up along with a couple other rookies for the fantasy league. I'm definitely looking for this dude to have a solid game against these Ravens. They don't have the same team they had. Their team doesn't have the same mindset. I'm looking for Houston to come out here to Baltimore or go out there to Baltimore. I'm sorry, because I don't like Baltimore. Bump that. I'm looking for them to go out there and knock them off of their high horse. I think Bernard's going to have an okay game. I don't see him getting 100 yards. I do see him getting a touchdown, though, because they're going to try to do him like they do Ray Rice, but he's not Ray Rice.
Right.
So this is going to be a telling game for him right here. But I do see him giving him a little some production. I actually do see Dallas Clark, though, having a good game. Now, he's quietly put up numbers, and he's reliable. He's not what Flacco's used to, but at the same time, you know you can get him the ball, and he'll bail you out, which is what a tight end is supposed to do. So I'm really looking for Houston to do it. And I'm still hoping, I'm going to wait till about 12 o'clock, hoping that Ed Reed's going to play today.
Okay. McCall, talk to him.
I don't think Ed going to play, Slev. I really don't think he going to play. That dude pretty much said, man, I'm here for important games, you know, playoffs, championships. That's what I'm here for. Oh, my God. This dude is just telling y'all, I am not playing. I'm going to do what I want. I was like, wow. I guess, you know, when you got that kind of clout and you got a Super Bowl ring, you can do that. You know, you can get a check and you can sit on the sidelines and say what you're going to do and what you ain't going to do. But the problem is you're going to have to be able to produce. And, you know, just coming off that joint cold like that, I don't know if that's going to work out. But I would love to see him play, but I don't look forward to him to play at all in this one. I don't think he's going to do it. They're supposed to be doing something down there for Ray Lewis.
And that's why I think he's going to play. That's why, because they're putting Ray in the ring. They put him in the ring. So I think Edge going to come out there and just surprise him. And he's going to play. I got a feeling.
I don't know, man. I think these Texans is way too much for these Ravens. You know, I think it's gonna be rock'em sock'em. You know, the Ravens ain't gonna go down without a fight. But you know, at the end of the night, draw's coming off, Slim, and Houston will be on top.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to another game that's gonna be very interesting. Down in Miami, when the Falcons visit the Miami Dolphins, the 1-1 Falcons and the 2-0 Miami Dolphins. Matt Ryan is a definite play. Steven Jackson is not out. I mean, Steven Jackson is out for a few more weeks. Jacquez Rogers, he doesn't really impress me that much. PPR maybe. But that's about it. I really don't have too much to say to him. I'm not really impressed with Jacquez Rogers. Quite naturally, Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones, and Roddy White. And Roddy White on a very low wide receiver 3 because the fact is he's still nursing an ankle sprain. On the other side, this back here. This is another back with a coach that getting paid millions of dollars and for some reason – And people who watch and know football and know running backs can see this kid, give him the ball and let him run instead of doing a 50-50 with a guy that is really not that good. I'm talking about Daniel Thomas, who is really not that good. You got Lamar Miller waiting to bust out if you give him a chance versus just pulling him in and out of the lineup because you want Daniel Thomas to get in there. Give him the ball and let him run with the rock on a consistent basis. I think he does this today. Now, the surprise tight end is Charles Clay. A lot of people, I'm surprised about this guy. He's been Ryan Tannehill, and a lot of times these young quarterbacks, and I keep on saying it, everybody who knows football knows a young quarterback's best friend is a tight end. And this happens to be Charles Clay on the Miami Dolphins. Mike Wallace came to play last week, and Ryan Tannehill decided to get him the ball, and he put up fantasy points. So you got some options here. You got Brian Hartline, you got Mike Wallace, you got Charles Clay in the passing game, and you got Lamar Miller in the running game. I absolutely love Lamar Miller this week. I think he's going to get close to 70-80 yards and a touchdown. And that's just on the ground. I think he's going to be catching the ball out of the backfield also. Tough game. Real tough game. And I'm not picking games here. I'm just picking players. I'll leave that to Ricky and Macau to pick winners and losers here. Talk to me, Rick.
Well, you know I like my Dolphins. But I'm still waiting for them to prove it. 2-0 is 2-0. You can get it in the beginning because everybody's trying to fill your team out. I'm definitely impressed with Tannehill, and I'm actually a lot more impressed with Mr. Mike Wallace than before because, of course, we know him as a 9 guy. But the way he played that game last week, he was, like, all over, and it was amazing. So if he can keep that up, they definitely will be a force in that division, and they'll make me more of a believer. Clay, yeah, he's the sleeper pick. He is the sleeper pick right there, Charles Clay. And I do like their defense. Now, I do think Atlanta's going to win this game, even though White is hobbled. And Julio is a little nicked up, but he's going to play. You know that. He's going to play. Harry Douglas is going to be their friend, and I'm like you. I'm not impressed with Jacquez Rogers. He's a Dave Meggett type of guy. I think I said that yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he's not – they need Snelling to be the dude back there because if Snelling goes up and hits those holes like Steven Jackson can do – and scoffers that defense up,
Yep.
It's going to be a problem. It's definitely going to be a problem. I'm going to still give this to Atlanta, but those are the ones that I'm really looking at right there. Their secondary is going to get hurt up because they have no Asante Samuel. That's the telltale sign for them right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Rick, but Atlanta going to run away with this one. They going to run away with this one, man. I do not like Miami. I mean, well, no, I take that back. I don't like their coach. I don't like that dude, man.
I do not like him.
I wouldn't trust him to run my car to the oil shop to get an oil change.
Damn.
I like Philbin. Hey, I think if Philbin was out there in Carolina, Cam Newton and them would probably be 2-0 right now.
He's
a good coach.
He would be 0-16, man.
Nah,
Cam Newton.
Man.
Wow.
Cam
wow.
Newton would be looking for someplace else to play quarterback. Oh no, you gonna add a dude like Philbin in Carolina? Nah,
no.
That's a bad mix, bro. That's a bad mix. And you got a dude like Cam out there? That's a bad mix.
He'll treat him like he treated Chad last year. That's what he'll do.
Huh?
Remember when Chad and them was on that hotline, then Philbin was like, nah, you getting cut before the show is over. He'll treat Cam the same way.
Exactly. No, man, you can't do stuff like that, man. You can't do stuff like that. You can't and expect to be successful. It don't work. It don't work, man. It don't work. You gotta have a balance of it. You gotta have a balance of it. You know what I mean? You gotta have a balance of treating the ego, you know, certain ego players, a certain position ego players, and you know, and a stern hand. You know, you can't just walk with a stern hand and think you're going to make it. It ain't going to work.
All right, let's move on to the battle of the rookie quarterbacks. And I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. E.J. Manuel against Geno Smith. One got drafted in the first round. The other one got drafted in the second round. Like I said before, three teams that – in my opinion, you play the defense against the three teams. We talked about one of them, which was the Cleveland Browns. This is the other one, the New York Jets. Geno Brown is more turnover prone than E.J. Manuel. And this Jet team, in my opinion, especially on the offensive side, is lacking in players compared to what they have in Buffalo. I'd love C.J. Spiller in this. I think he's definitely going to he historically has owned the New York Jets, and I think he'll do it this week. Quite naturally, they're going to key on him because of the fact he is one of their better players. But I still think he does his thing. I like Stevie Johnson in this. He always tortures the Jets, even when Darrelle Revis was on the Jets. He torched the Jets. This is one of those wide receivers, for whatever reason, that Darrelle Revis had huge problems with, and Stevie Johnson was one of them. And you don't expect Cromartie to go against them and do anything effective. It's not going to happen. And E.J. Manuel, being a rookie, he happens to like another rookie that's on this team called Robert Woods. He's going to be another rookie wide receiver in the upcoming weeks, in my opinion, to be reckoned with as they get more and more of a better rapport with each other as the season progresses. I do believe he likes to look for him in the red zone, and I think along with Stevie Johnson on a nice pass play, 20 to 30-yard touchdown pass, I think Robert Woods in the red zone itself gets a touchdown himself. And on the other side, the only other player I think may get a possible decent game from the Jets is Chris Ivory. That's the only one. And I'm really putting reaching for that one because they don't really have too many good options. If they don't have any options, basically, on the offensive side. All of them are pretty much growing together. and it's going to take quite a while for that to happen. Rick, talk to me.
I'm really disappointed you didn't go with your boys.
They're not my boys. Come on, man.
I'm disappointed. Those are your boys.
No, they're not. Not even. Trust me.
I'm going to stick with the Jets, man. And I like the fact that their defense is they're looking better. They're getting better. I do think that Buffalo's going to have their way, but I just feel as though the Jets are slowly but surely, they're slowly coming together. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong, EJ Manuel's a beast. And he's going to, as the season goes on, he's going to definitely show you why he was the first quarterback off the board in the draft. He's the truth. But I feel as though the Jets are going to be, the quarterback for them, he's getting his rapport with Santonio, even though Santonio's still looking iffy. He's getting his rapport with him. Kellen Winslow, even though those knees are still hurting, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Only thing the Jets need is more of a running game, but that defense, I think, is solid enough to kind of hold the Bills back a little bit. So I'm going to stick with them. I think I picked them yesterday, and I'm going to stick with them.
Okay, McCown.
Man, this is going to be a good game. This is a good game to watch. You got number one quarterback taken in the draft, and you got the number two quarterback taken in the draft. And the number two quarterback thought he should have been number one. So look for him to have a big chip on his shoulder. You know he had this joint circled. So I think he's gonna come out and try to play his ass off. But unfortunately, you know, EJ is just better. You know, he got better talent. Bill's defense is a little bit better. I don't see the Jets winning this, but it's gonna be a close game. I'm going with Buffalo. Going with Buffalo.
Okay. Let's move on to the next game, which happens to be the Indianapolis Colts versus the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco, who got torched, absolutely manhandled by their division rival Seattle Seahawks. Looking to get back on track in a winning way and get them a better feeling about their team versus what happened in Seattle last week against the Indianapolis Colts team that just got a big-time upgrade in their running back position. And supposedly he's going to get about 10 to 15 touches, if not more, Trent Richardson I'm talking about. In my opinion, I still play Trent Richardson. Now, he may not be running back one in this game, but I still play him because he's Trent Richardson and he's up in a offense that has multiple options. So San Francisco can be run on. They have been run on. And I look for Trent Richardson to have a decent day, maybe not a crazy day, but a crazy good day. But I think he's going to have a decent day. Don't expect huge numbers from him. Only 2 or 3 days in the playbook in Indianapolis, but they're going to give him the ball as the number one running back. I think Andrew Luck is going to be able to find targets down the field in Kobe Fleener and Reggie Wayne. T.Y. Hilton may not have a real big role in this game, but Kobe Fleener in the tight end position and Reggie Wayne in the wide receiver position should have very decent numbers in this game, because they're going to have to pass the ball to be effective against San Francisco, who's got a huge attitude coming into this game to get back on the winning track. Quite naturally, in this game, Frank Gore I think is going to go off. Indianapolis can be run on big time. And I think Frank Gore is going to have a very good day. Colin Kaepernick, I think, also is going to get back on track versus that horrible showing he had last week against Seattle. Vernon Davis, still trying to find out if he's going to play or not. He's iffy. It's a game-time decision because of his hamstring. Hopefully you may have a better option if Vernon Davis doesn't play, that you can plug in either in your 4 o'clock games, or if you think that he's not going to play, you plug into your early games and be on the safe side. Anquan Boldin, I think, is going to have a comeback day playing against the Colts with the eventual winner. I'm going to push off to Ricky and McCown.
Teacher versus the pupil. That's what this game is dubbed. Hard versus luck. San Fran can definitely kill this team if they want to. And, you know, San Fran is definitely on revenge mode, even though they didn't lose to Indy, but they're on revenge mode because they feel like they got whipped, which they did against Seattle. I'm looking for Trent to have a good game, even though he's not going to be like a this is going to be a feel-out game for him, but it's just so similar. I think yesterday I picked Indy, and I'm probably going to stick with that pick because I really think that they're not prepared for what Richardson is going to give them. Fleener is going to be a big problem in the middle. And like you said, I'm looking for Davis also to see if he's going to play. If Davis doesn't play, I'm really going to stick with Indy. But if Davis plays, it could go either way. The fact that it's in San Fran, that gives them more of a favorite title, but I'm going to go with Indy on this.
All right, and before I go to McCall, let me give you this player update. Ed Reed will make his debut versus the Ravens, and Reggie Bush is inactive. So we'll start at running back, and Ed Reed will play against the Ravens this week.
I told you Ed was going to play. He's not going to miss Ray Lewis coming back.
I thought Reggie Bush was going to play, but anyway, man, the Seahawks beat the brakes off the 49ers. I mean, just, they put them dudes in skirts and spent them around and tossed them all around the world. Good God Almighty. So, yeah, their pride is really bruised because, I mean, these two teams was talking trash all week. I think the line of the week was when Slim called the Seahawks the She-Hawks, and then the comeback was, call us the She-Hawks, really? Ain't nobody paying attention to the 49ers. Man, these two teams do not like each other. The coaches don't like each other. So that ass whooping hurt them. They are hurt. They wounded hurt. But I look for them to muster up everything and take out all that pent-up frustration on these Colts. Colts are going to get smacked up and down the field. I just think so, man. These guys are going to be pumped. They back in San Francisco, so I look for San Fran to take it.
Okay. All right. I hate to hesitate to bring this game up because it's really – this is the third of the games that I was talking about when you pick a defense to play against, talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars going to the Seattle Seahawks. I'm not even going to even do anything and say anything that you should play on Jacksonville because there is no plays for me for Jacksonville. Quite naturally, somebody's going to play in Jacksonville, and they're going to put up some fantasy numbers, but it's not worth me talking about because there's really nothing, in my opinion, worth putting on your roster in Jacksonville that would give you any decent points. I can tell you that I'm looking to watch this running back that's going to be backing up Maurice Jones-Drew, who's a game-time decision. I have a funny feeling that he won't play. And if he doesn't play, then I'm looking to see what Jordan Todman's going to do. He's the backup to Maurice Jones-Drew to see if he can do anything against this Seattle Seahawks defense. But all the plays for me are this: Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, and it's a toss-up. It's really a toss-up between Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin, in my opinion, on the Seattle Seahawks, because Russell Wilson spreads the ball around. I discounted Sidney Rice because I don't think he's there yet. So I'm going to go with and take a shot here with Golden Tate to have the better showing out of all the wide receivers today. But this is a purely I'll go to Ricky and Mikal. You guys, you want to pick a winner here, which is obvious. Go right ahead.
I didn't pick this game yesterday. I knew it was another game. So let's go to Mikal.
Whatever team that's playing Jacksonville will win. How about that?
Okay. There we go. All right. No problem. Now this game is very interesting, and I think we were on opposite sides of the spectrum on who was going to win this game. I'm looking at this game, Chicago going into Pittsburgh, who's 0-2. And fighting for their life and a little bit of turmoil on the offensive side of the ball, including their offensive coordinator. I like Matt Forte in this game. And like I said before, Pittsburgh can rerun on. I said that a long time ago before the season. They have an old defense. They were run on last year. They could be run on this year. I think Matt Forte is going to have a good game. I think Brandon Marshall is going to have a good game. Alshon Jeffrey is still too inconsistent for me, so my consistent plays in this is Matt Forte and Brandon Marshall. On the other side, I think Roethlisberger is going to have to throw the ball more. I know they want to run the ball. I know they want to run the ball, but they don't have any decent running backs until Le'Veon Bell comes back. And I think Roethlisberger has got a security blanket coming back, and he may play better, even though this is the first time he's playing after that horrific knee injury he had where he tore up all three ligaments. Heath Miller is going to be coming back, but I think he's going to be on a snap count. But Antonio Brown was complaining he wasn't getting the ball enough, even though he had the most targets out of all the wide receivers last week, but he wants the ball more. So look for Roethlisberger to be throwing the ball more because of a lack of a running game. I still believe with all the problems that the Steelers have in Chicago and Jay Cutler, as inconsistent as Jay Cutler can be, and put in one of those funky games and bad games, I still think that Steelers come out with a win here. I know I'm probably on a minority here, but that's how I feel. Talk to me, Rick and Mikal.
Well, my favorite tight end is finally coming back. That doesn't do too much justice for the horrific play calling of you guys' favorite offensive coordinator. This dude is a bum. I told you this dude was a bum in the preseason. He was a bum with the Chiefs, and he's just going to be a bum. This dude, Todd Haley, is going to get the boot. He's going to look just like he's going to look like the guy that Baltimore now has as an offensive coordinator that Indy booted. And I don't see the Steelers coming out of this with a win. Even though Jay is, you know, he's still on his inconsistent track, but they're definitely way better off right now than the Steelers are. I'm just going to go with Chicago. They're going to go up there and beat them in Pittsburgh, which is rare for Pittsburgh to just be losing at home like they're doing.
Okay.
Man, this game is hard to call. You got the Steelers on one hand, you know, struggling for their life, you know, trying to re-identify themselves. Then you got Chicago on the other side. They are, you know, they got the new coach and, you know, starting things over. And you don't know if Cutler is going to come in and throw three interceptions or he's going to come in and throw three touchdowns or if he's going to do both. You know, this is a hard game to call, man. Real hard game to call. But after I flip this coin, which I just did, it says heads. Chicago.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's move this way. One more game, and I don't know if even this is worth talking about on win and loss. But fantasy wise, there's two guys that I'm looking at on the Oakland Raiders that can play pretty well here. I think Darren McFadden. Yeah, I'm saying Darren McFadden. He's been showing out pretty well like last week, and I think he'd be able to run on the Denver Broncos. So I like him as a definite play here. And Rod Streeter, he's getting a rapport with Terrell Pryor, and I still think that Rod Streeter is a good play here. I know Champ Bailey is iffy. He may not come back in this week, but regardless if he comes back or not, I think Rod Streeter is a decent play here. Wide receiver 3. That's about as much as I can give on that. And quite naturally, there's fantasy goodness on Monday night from the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning, Knowshon Moreno, Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, and Wes Welker. The only inconsistent guy here is Eric Decker. Now, my thinking is this. I'm playing this guy in one of my teams because the fact is I think they're going to be up so much on the Oakland Raiders that they're going to give this kid late carries. I'm talking about Monty Ball, taking out Knowshon Moreno so he doesn't get hurt and insert Monty Ball with enough rushes and possibly, you never know, a touchdown to be fantasy worthy in a flex type of position. So you got a flex position that you're thinking about. I would put Monty Ball in. I know a lot of people have dropped him, which is, I think is a big mistake because Knowshon Moreno is not the most durable back, and Monty Ball is the next option after Knowshon Moreno. So if you have him on your bench, I would suggest you keep him on your bench and let you have a better option because I think this kid, the season is still early. This is week 3. The season's still early, and I think this kid's still going to show out. Rick.
Normally, I wouldn't pick this game, but I have to stick with my gun because I told you yesterday I feel as though Oakland can pull this thing out.
Really? Wow.
With Terrell Pryor being a running quarterback. I really think that they can pull it out. The news of Von Miller is killing Denver right now, and they're not, I mean, it's not really affecting them, but at the same time, that was your man last year. And now you really know you're probably not going to have for more than the suspension that was originally set. It's the thing as to where I think Oakland is going to feed off of. They're underestimating McFadden right now. He's like a top 10 back in the league, I believe, right now as far as yards. I don't like Oakland's receivers for anything. I don't even care who they are. But it's just the fact that you have that Terrell Pryor threat, and you have a back that can get out of the backfield, catch it, and break it at any time. I told you Denver's going to lose one to Oakland. I think this is that one that they do lose.
Okay.
Oakland. Oh, nah, man. I just don't see it. I just don't see. I just don't see Oakland winning this game, man. I don't. I like Terrell Pryor or whatever, man, but. Nah, man, I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Okay.
I just can't see it, man.
All right, with that being said, we're really up against the time, and I want to thank you guys for calling in today and enjoy the games. Real quick, you guys got anything to say? We got about less than 5 minutes. I'll go to Rick first and McCown.
I'm so happy that Ed Reed's going to play. It's really that's going to be the game that I probably watch other than my Skins game, even though I'm not going to – I usually just stay on Red Zone all day, which is what I'm going to do anyway. But the fact that now I got Red Zone on the phone, I can watch the Skins on one channel – and then I can go to another TV and I'll throw this Baltimore game on there because I do want to see what Ed's going to do. I'm really happy about that. That's going to be a good game. If you are watching the Skins game, your man Vic got tickets. I was supposed to go with him, but I told him I couldn't make it. They're supposed to be sitting, like, I think in the corner of the end zone or something.
Okay.
So just look for the craziest fan out there, I guess, even though all of them are crazy, but... You may see him. He's going to
okay.
have his own spot.
All right, McCown.
You know what I find interesting, Rick, about him going to the game? The thing that I find interesting is not too long ago he was right on this show, said, I'm a Redskin fan, you know,
yeah.
and I think they should change the name.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still going to the game.
He's still going
to the game. And you got councilmen in D.C. lobbying to change the name. But guess what? They got season tickets. that stuff is just crazy. They need to let it go. But anyway, good luck to them. Good luck to the Texans. You know, just peace and blessings to everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week and give our opinions again.
With that being
Vic
said,
Vic probably be the only one out there with the McNabb jersey.
he'll be out there with a Michael Westbrook jersey.
With that being said, I want to thank you guys again for joining us, and I'm going to end the show like I started the show with an old school rap. One of the pioneers, Mr. Curtis Blow. Come on, Block Talk, don't do it to me again. Here we go. I can't believe they did this to me again. Unbelievable. You press the button and nothing happens. You know what? Guys, thanks for joining me. We'll catch you guys next week on the various Block Talk radios that we have. We're out of here. See ya.
Well, in the famous words of him, be off the brakes.
Bring it up.
Come on. I'm trying to end the show, and it's still hesitating. I'm trying to close my website out. Can't do that. They're just killing me here. Block Talk Radio, you're killing me.
Oh man, that's what happened.
This is the second time this happened. I can't believe it. I'm pressing buttons here, and all I can see is nothing happened. You know what?
Like having a sprint.
Yes, sir.